Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Back to Brilliance Hour with Vivian Hildebrandt and Lynn Hoff on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Lynn and Vivian.
Oh, I guess I'm going to start us off here. Hi, this is Lynn Hoft. Glad to be with you all this evening. Welcome to our call, the Back to Brilliance Hour. And our topic this evening is Relationships Thrive in the Present Moment. We want to talk more tonight, more specifically, about understanding the present moment as brilliance in action, free of all limitation, allowing our relationships to thrive. Another piece is to know that relationships which unfold in the now remove our attention from the past and the future, opening them to love. And finally, we recognize and hope that you can recognize that brilliant relationships allow us to meet and resolve all situations moment to moment with love and wisdom.
Hello, this is Vivian, and I'm also glad to be with you this evening. The short-term or, broken down objectives we have that maybe by the end of our discussion tonight you'll feel more comfortable with is knowing that brilliance awakens us to the possibility for true and heart-centered relationships. Heart-centered being a very, very important piece that the brilliance allows us to have. Second, being aware of the potential for love and joy in each moment. And that's really true, each moment. And the last part is expressing expanded joy and love in relationships which are grounded in the present moment. Now we're going to do our presentation tonight, and if you have a question or a comment, just keep it or jot it down, because once we're done with our presentation and we've taken a short station break, we are coming back. We'll open the lines and get everyone who would like to participate with us. So we're going to start our presentation, and Lynn will begin.
Hello again. The first understanding that we hope to discuss with you is about the present moment, the now, the eternal now, the present moment, and that moment, that present moment, is brilliance in action, and it allows relationships to thrive. First of all, the present moment is fluid energy. It's constantly expanding, and this is the key part. It's free of expectations and dreams. The present moment, like I said before, is the eternal now. So it is the constant, continuing now. So it's like all of our thoughts about stuff don't go with us into the present moment. There is no place for them. They don't fit there. A lot of our thinking is really third-dimensional stuff that we're going to be dropping away as soon as we figure it out. Okay, so in the present moment, we move into an expanded opportunity, a sequence of now. And that's kind of a difficult... Well, it was difficult for me to wrap my head around that one. A sequence of now. But it's just now continuing in now. And it's not thinking in terms of time, because it's not about time. You don't have time in the eternal now. It's just this moment is the only moment, and so your whole responsibility, your whole opportunity is to laser focus in the now. And that's where all the gifts are. Brilliance, here we go, this is a big gift. Brilliance only exists in this present moment. It's only possible in the now. So if you want to tap that part of yourself that we call innate brilliance, meaning you're born with it, you always had it, and you can't lose it. If you want to access that part of yourself, the only place you can do that from is the now. So that's really key to living from your brilliance, living from that brilliant flaming light that is truly who you are. It means living in the now. And some of the good things about that are you don't have all your old thoughts in the way or your old judgments or worries or any of that stuff. It's all gone. It all exists in the now, and it's in a pure creative flow. So our brilliance is an expression of our higher self. Collectively, all of us together, it's the field of energy in which we exist. It's the light and love of all that is. And if we get a little time later, we got a news story this week from a friend of ours about staying in that collective now.
The second point that we want to share with you tonight is this. Being in the now removes our attention from the past and the future, opening up possibilities for love. I'm going to say it one more time because I love this one. Being in the now removes our attention from the past and from the future, opening up possibilities for love. Now, I think most of us want these possibilities for love in kind of a big way. We want closeness. We want excitement about being with other people, friends, lovers, mates, all of those kinds of things, children. We want joy. We want this flow of energy, this creative flow. We want love. But most of us are living in yesterday, you know, or what happened 2 weeks ago, or what happened when I was 3 years old. And guess what? We spend more time in the past than we do in the now. Now, I want to make just a teeny tiny detour here, because the present moment is not some light and airy fairy world. It means everything happens in the present moment. Does it have shocks and difficulties? Yes. We only have to think in the last couple of months at all the things that our national attention has been held with. Sandy Hook or other kinds of tragedies and losses, they happen in the present moment too. But for me, I don't think of a present moment as something that just happens along and plops in my lap and I hope I notice it. No. Present moment means I need to bring my perfect presence, myself, my true self, my brilliance to each moment so that wholeness of who I am can support me no matter what's happening, through the good times, through the bad times. So it's actually intentional, bringing this wholeness of who we are to each moment. That is what present moment means to me. And when that happens, it opens us to any and every possibility. Whereas the past and the future are just kind of limited. We can't even see the whole future, so we can only kind of imagine. And the past is so long and so strong that on its own, you could get lost on all the roads and all the little detours we could take in that past. So that's why it's so very important to have this ability to bring ourselves alive in the present moment. Now, this is especially true in our relationships. If you are alive and if you are even 1 year, 2 years old, you will remember something about, you know, not having a harmonious relationship, and yet that's what we want. So what we're saying is being in the now is the only place to build a really, really great relationship. Now, we want to share a story. I'll start it, and if Lynn wants to come in, she can certainly share too. Lynn and I took a class some time ago led by our friend Alamea, and it covered all the work of Jane Nelson. And she has worked a lot in schools and also with parents. And this particular class was about positive discipline. And this was initially for teachers so they could use it with students, but parents got involved in this too. And what it showed, among other things, is that there are barriers to relationships and builders. Now, let me give you a list of some of the barriers here. First one is adultisms. And what that means is, you know, I know how things need to be done here, and I can't believe that you don't know it. You know, I just can't believe you forgot it, or I just can't believe you forgot something. Rescuing and explaining means I'm going to take over for you, and I'm going to either help you out of a situation, or I'm going to explain things so that you do it my way. And again, kind of take some of the power from the person that you're with. Assuming, we all know this one. This is probably the most familiar. And essentially, we all get brought up short on assuming because we have no idea what's going on in anybody else's head, or at least I have found I really never do, although I think I do. And directing. This is a big one, which means my way. Whatever we're doing here, you're going to do it my way. And the last one is called expecting. And that's holding a high vision for someone else. But when that vision becomes kind of locked in or stayed, like my kid has to get an A in everything or some other version of that, essentially it becomes kind of shaming. It really is hard for someone to live up to that kind of expectation. So can you imagine being on the other end of those barriers? I think, you know, you feel smaller and smaller and smaller. And they just prevent us from having healthy, workable, happy relationships.
Can I just add a word? And that is that don't just think about these as parents and kids. It was a parenting class that brought these ideas to us, but these are used in human relationships. You could substitute boss for mom in the workplace and have the same kind of demeaning, controlling environment. And they happen in all kinds of relationships. They happen, I've seen them happen in churches with groups and organizations and on and on and on. This is a learned habit of relating to others. And it really helped me a lot to get that this is just what we've been taught how to do this. And we, you know, they didn't know any better. Okay, now Viv's going to talk to you about the builders.
Yes, and before I do that, I want to say a little bit more. Remember that we live a lot in the past, and I know a couple of my barriers from the list that I gave you from the past are assuming. You know, once you have a couple of experiences with a person, it goes into that lockbox in our brain, and then I start assuming. I don't even have to go very far in the next encounter, and I'm assuming a lot about that other person and what's going to happen. So, again, I bring my past and I just slip it right in to what's happening, and that's not too healthy. Expecting also. I think we all have a lot of expectations. This is particularly true in romantic relationships. I'm so glad Lynn
brought up that whole thing more. These started with children, but once they got going, the parents got real involved, and I think families have made great change here. And all of us are in the family of human beings, so of course these work with everyone. But the whole thing about expecting and then having feeling shamed or feeling small, that all comes from our past about what people are supposed to be doing or what they're supposed to be working at, and it's just silliness. It's particularly hard on children, but it's even harder on mates or on good friends. And I know for myself, if I am in those kind of relationships, I'm not there for long, and I'm not there actively after a while. So it's a lonely place if we're using these barriers. We lose our intimacy. Now, here is the deal. What about the builders? I'm going to give you the adultisms. Okay, you know what that is. It's like, okay, I know how to do it all. And you want to bring in this whole concept of respecting so that this person that you're dealing with, I don't care if they're 20 years younger or if they're 2 years younger or if they're older, you respect that person in the same way you would respect your own self in your ability to choose and to know what's best for self. So it's a wonderful thing, respecting. We can feel it immediately when we're in a respectful relationship. Now, if you are one of those people who explain how to do everything, or you rescue and try to get people so they don't have to meet or be accountable, encourage instead. Instead of laying everything out, encourage a person to say, well, how is this working? What else are you going to do? This sounds really exciting. Bringing that in so that they get to make, again, the choice of which direction they're going in. This one's for me with assuming. All we have to do when I'm assuming something is check it out and say, well, what do you really mean? Say that again. I don't understand. Let me hear more. And we really do find out more when that's brought in, and we don't get our feelings hurt because we're really finding out what's going on. Directing, which means I think I know how everybody else should do something. Basically, we can explore and invite. In other words, how else could we do this? Or are you sure we can't add this, you know? Or what are you thinking? Bringing that all in so that if it's a shared experience that you have yourself and you also have the ideas of the other. And after expecting, which can be a big barrier, use celebration. If someone has achieved something, hey, celebrate that night, the next night. Make it a fun thing if it's in your family or if it's just you and your partner. Make it special in different ways, but celebrate so that there is no one standard and there is no disappointment and there is no shame. Now, you're saying, I can't possibly remember all these barriers and all these filters. All you have to do is check in with your feelings. Just remember, if you're finding yourself assuming something about somebody else, just stop. Just stop. Just go in and try to find out what's going on. You don't even have to remember what to do. Just check in. If you feel something and say, whoa, wait a minute, then check in with your brilliance, and it will lead you in the direction that you really need to go to build a real, a respectful and close relationship. Now, you may remember these. We can certainly get these out. We can even put these on our blog for you to go check because they're wonderful. But instead of having to remember something, just remember to check your feelings. And how would you feel if this were happening to you? And then stop yourself and listen and be guided by your brilliance to figure out, okay, how can I further this relationship? How can I be more respectful? Just letting the barriers go will change your life in marvelous, marvelous ways. And again, brilliance is the foundation of these builders. That's where they came from, respect, encouragement, checking in, exploring, inviting, celebrating. So these will move you very quickly toward what we call brilliant relationships. You may get there just with brilliance, but it's so much fun to have these builders and barriers in your knowingness so that you can just let some of the old things go and be on with your brilliant self, building brilliant relationships.
Thanks, Viv. I think listening to you is and your enthusiasm reminds me that we both have been extremely influenced by these tools. I remember that part about, and I want you out there to hear this one more time. If you can just eliminate those barriers, it'll totally change your relationships. Totally. I mean, you know, if you get rid of one of them, you make huge strides. It is just incredible. Because these are the old habits and patterns and ways of doing business that have been getting us into trouble since the beginning, at least the beginning of this time. And we know our habits and our beliefs and our ways of being most often are passed down through our families. Most often are what we've observed as children or in school or wherever. So, you know, it's not really like we had even a whole lot of say about what we were learning about how to be with other people in the world, but it's just absolutely awesome how much getting in touch with this set of skills will do for a person, because it helps you move into this world that we keep talking about, where brilliance is dominant, where brilliance is the source. And you know, when you start thinking about some of these barrier kind of behaviors, they sure didn't come from our brilliance. You know, they came from our old habits and our modeling people that were didn't have a clue about what they were talking about. And, you know, as kids, we might even have known on some level that they didn't know what they were talking about. But, you know, you keep your mouth shut just to stay safe. But here's the thing. Vivian mentioned the idea of celebrating. And this was a huge piece that I learned early on in learning the brilliance formula, the tools that contribute to maintaining a state of brilliance in my life. And that was celebration. And I have to tell you, at first, I could see myself screwing up all around me. I mean, it seemed like I'd hear about this new skill and, okay, I'm not going to assume. I'm just going to check everything out. And, you know, the first thing I do is go back into assuming. And then I get upset with myself because I see myself doing it. It took me weeks before I realized that I'd actually made some progress. I was seeing what I was doing. I was seeing myself and myself in the world of the barriers. And all of a sudden it clicked for me, and that's when I started to celebrate. I started to celebrate the little things, one tiny step at a time. I could see it. Then, you know, gradually I could see it enough to where I could do something differently. I could switch from a barrier and just switch right over into a builder if I was being assuming. Then I could start asking, well, how do you see this? You know, I could start calling forth comment and input from the other person. And doing that over a period of years, in my case, gave me the ability to move through the barriers and the builders and the other tools for brilliance in a way that I was seeing enough progress that I kept going. And the farther I went, the more amazed I was by how the whole thing was playing out. So, brilliant relationships. That's what we're going for with these tools. That relationships that allow us to meet and resolve all situations moment to moment with love and wisdom. That sounds like a pretty tall order. The tools that we've mentioned tonight and in our other blog talk programs are available to experience brilliance everywhere, in all of our relationships, at home, at work, in community. They are a foundation for brilliant relationships. I'll just mention here, Vivian and I have written a couple of books. They're both available on our website. Our book, Activate Your Brilliance, contains the 12 core components of the brilliant formula, and a lot of stories of ourselves and others working through the barriers in their lives to be able to live in more in their brilliance using these tools. And it's available on our website. If you can't find the page about brilliance, you can find the shop page, and it's all right there too. And then as I was looking through this piece about we can experience our brilliance everywhere, and we have all these tools, I was thinking about the stress book that we wrote, Stop Stress Guide, it's called. And that book is deals with all of these different relationships. There's a section in there about common workplace issues in relationships. There's a section about home, relating with our spouse, or another section about working with our kids, and other aspects of the community. We covered a lot of ground in that book as far as tips and what's worked for us and what's worked for other people.
It's an ebook too.
Right, that's an ebook, and we're in the process of making sure it's available on our website. But if you decide that's something you're interested in, you can, I think, link to read about it off of the website. I'm not sure, but you will be able to soon. And if you have any problems, just send me an email, lynn@backtobrilliance.com, and we'll help you out. Okay, that was an interesting little plug. The beauty of working with brilliance within ourselves is the, I'm starting to gloss over here. I just put my phone down and then took my paper up in front of it. So if I faded out there for a minute, now you know why. Anyway, it's that one of these skills, one step leads to the next, and eventually you have this huge toolbox of skills that can keep you in this state of brilliance. You know, it feels good when you're in your brilliance, and I'm sure we all know how crummy it feels when we're not. So, we get an opportunity to live moment to moment in wisdom and love when we learn how to stay in our brilliance and to bring that into our families, into our workplaces, into our communities, and to bring it to our planet. And I really believe at this time that's what we're here for. It's time for this planet to get brilliantized, for everyone to understand their brilliance. For those of you that are working towards ascension into a new consciousness, this is definitely the way, because letting go of all of those old habits that were in the way of you being in your state of brilliance they're the tools that it's like they were the rocks in the road, and they were the millstone that ground the fine grit out of your path. And what's coming is this beautiful world of living in brilliance, living in love, living in joy. And we're practicing that every day.
And what's really phenomenal, just as a parting thought here, is that once I can see the brilliance in myself, I then can recognize it in everyone else. Whatever has kept me from that, whatever thought or whatever habit keeps me separated from others or judging others, dissolves when I start seeing the brilliance in myself. Because I know if it's in me, it is in everyone. And then it's like sort of a treasure hunt. You're always seeing people and looking for the brilliance. Not judging it like, well, their brilliance isn't as good as mine. No, it is the same. It will be experienced differently and expressed differently, but think of what we can do when we know all of us are brilliant and that we can create a new world from a shared vision of all of the brilliance that's here. So I just love that part, and it gives me hope for making a new world. There's too many days I could just be disheartened by what is on the TV or on the radio, and I refuse. Yes, it does happen, but I cannot stay there because I know we all have this wonderful brains. We are about now to take a station break. And once that is done, what we're going to do is come back. We'll see if there are people who would have some questions for us. And if not, we'll share a few more.
You are listening to The Metaphysical Edge with B. Delosier on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now...
You're listening to the Back to Brilliance Hour with Vivian Hildebrandt and Lynn Hoft on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Lynn and Vivian.
We are back. So we are here, and if any of you have questions, you can certainly let us know that. But Lynn mentioned earlier a story that a friend of ours told. She is a full-time substitute in the Minneapolis school system, and she has started to use something that holds a vision for the students she works with. And I'm going to let Lynn tell that story.
We both were just knocked off our chairs when she shared this with us. Brenda was substituting one day last week in an autistic children's classroom. And I think there were 8 kids in the class. And she was in there, and there were 1 or 2 paraprofessionals that were permanently assigned to work with that group. The teacher was out sick for the day. And Brenda said that she had been reading about being one with all that is, and that the power of one. And she got the idea that whenever there is a group of people together in alignment with the concept of one, it's like one group and we're all birds and we're all flying in the same flock and we're all moving in the same wave. And so she went into this class with that idea of creating the state of oneness in herself and in the classroom. And she just had the best time with these children, and everyone was excited and enthused and participating. And later, her paraprofessionals told her, "What did you do?" She said, "These kids never sit still and pay attention like this. They're all over the room. What did you do?" And she just smiled at us, and she just said, "I set up the power of oneness in our group, that we are all parts of the whole, that we are all one, and together we are moving forward, whether it's in the classroom or in your life or wherever you are." And that was just like, wow, it works. Do you have something else?
A thought occurred to me in what we were discussing tonight, and that is this creative process that we're in where we keep finding ourselves with the same outcome. We keep wanting something new, and we keep finding ourselves in the same place we were, you know, 2 weeks ago. And I think what came clear to me in thinking about our discussion tonight was that it's because we are tied to the past. We keep bringing the past into the present, and it is only in the present that we create the future. So we are in a continual cycle. We're recycling the past, and we're not getting this new creative energy nearly enough because we aren't spending enough time. We're not bringing ourselves fully present to this magnificent creative now moment. And it's sort of like, do you remember the three-legged races we used to do at these school picnics and events or family events where you have your leg and then the middle leg and your friend's middle leg, the other leg, is tied together in a like a sack. And you're supposed to have a race and you're supposed to go down to the end and come back without falling, and whoever wins gets a prize. Well, think about it. If both legs are tied to the past, guess what's going to happen? Not only will we be doing some falling, because the world has changed so much since I was a kid, since last year it's changed so much. So I just got such a clear picture. I need to stay out of the past. I don't need it. Yes, I need my brain. Yes, I need all the little details and things. Yes, I need all that. But I need to be in my heart. You know, the present moment, well, you know, it seems like, well, that's foreign. No, it's being in my heart, fully present, fully aware. And again, oh, you know, people say, "I've gotten hurt when I trust my heart." Well, you know, I think we really need to look at that. Brilliance is constantly desiring for us to expand in our ability to love, in our ability to understand, to see, to bridge. So yes, of course, we've all gotten hurt here and there. But when it's brilliance that we trust, and not just an emotional state, then good things are going to happen. So that's just a couple of the things that came to me this week as we were preparing to talk tonight.
Thanks for bringing that up, Viv. It kind of reminded me of all the work we've done understanding our feelings. One of the pieces of the Brilliance Formula is understanding feelings, using your feelings as a compass. And truly, they will never lead you wrong. They're your GPS. And so if you're feeling hurt and disappointed and all of that, there's something there that you probably need to look at and let go of. It doesn't mean, and I don't know what that could be. It's varied so many times in so many of my different life situations, but being able to feel this hurts, it would just remind me that I was in old habits of thinking, that there was maybe a part of me that said, when this happens, it's going to hurt like hell. And most men do this. You know, now this is a woman talking, of course. But, or most women do this. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever you've learned, a way to throw the blame out on somebody else. Well, you know, that whole game is phony baloney. There's nothing real to it from start to finish. You know, we're not here to hurt other people or to be hurt by them. But a lot of times we've kind of got ourselves set up to continue that kind of behavior until we figure it out that, whoops, I'm not going there anymore. You know, it's not worth it. And what you can do differently around it. And it's a very large subject because it takes in most of our waking hours. But one can fairly easily get a handle on their feelings, see them as a compass, and recognize the best thing about working with brilliance is as soon as you start feeling down or sad or disappointed, you're in the dumps, those feelings are telling you that you're not in your brilliance. And so, shift up. All you have to do is realize, oh, I'm not in my brilliance. And then make the shift. Now, at first, I remember I used to go through gymnastics to get to where I think I could be in my brilliance. But now, it's so simple. I just stop what I'm doing. I take a few deep breaths. And I shift. It does not have to be hard. And there are other tools and strategies you can use, especially for the big ones. But bottom line, all of those feelings are messages. Like your GPS, they're telling you where you are. Either you're in your brilliance or you're not. Did you want to say something?
When you're done.
Okay. And the other thing is, when you're in your brilliance, you don't have to do anything. Just enjoy it. Just treasure every moment. And if you're not in your brilliance, then just take a little break. And, you know, the amazing thing is now that I do that frequently, I can get a whole reconnect in where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing in a day's time. It often comes through, well, it's time to put that away and work on this for a while. And or whatever, but you can do that. That's the gift of brilliance.
When Lynn was talking about this, of course, another thought came to mind. When I said to check in your feelings, they tell you many things, just as Lynn said, are you in your brilliance or not? But here's the thing. The thought always comes before the feeling. So if I'm having a feeling, it is connected directly to a thought in my head. So when I have repeat occurrences and I get these experiences and they're the same,
and they happen on a regular basis, I know I am still attached to some thought that gives me an expectation of how things should be, how I think they should be. And so we run our histories there on these expectations we have of people and of life and how things should go. And this is normal stuff for us, but it is also wonderful to learn how to let that go. And I simply have to let go of certain concepts, certain words, certain ideas. And something came very clear to me, and that is history or herstory, you know, her story or his story. It's all a story. For the most part, our experiences are really sets of interpretations that we had. So if you had an experience with your parents and you thought they were mean or nasty or awful, indeed, that could have been what was happening. And yet oftentimes there is something going on there that gives a broader picture, but we didn't know it, or we didn't have the age or the maturity to be able to find out. And so our story, our history or our her story is what we keep all through life. And every step we take, we bring whatever perception or assumption into the mix. And indeed, that may not have even been accurate. So we are running on a very old machine there, that history machine that is not probably going to be too helpful to building beautiful relationships, because it's full of expectations, it's full of perceptions. So I think that's something that I have learned. When I have some bad feelings, and I call them bad because I don't like them, I have to seek out what's the thought I've got going here, and is it time? You know, do I need to let this go? Yeah, so that's just another little thought that you prompted.
We haven't had a lot of visitors this evening live. We do have one beautiful comment here from Reverend B., who may still be on the line with us. She said, "How fortunate for us, we are living the shift to brilliance." Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, we picked the right time to be here. Just need to remember that when we go through some murky days. So thanks a lot, B, for your comments. We are going to, Vivian has a couple of comments that she's going to make to help us close things up here.
Again, just before I have some points or thoughts you might want to remember, if you have something that you want to try out this week from our discussion or your insights about relationships, please put it somewhere where you'll remember to try it out, whether it be in your journal or on your fridge, it doesn't matter. Please try to do that if you'd like. Here's a couple thoughts that are some of the things that we kind of covered tonight, and here's one. The present moment is brilliance in action. So we've brought ourselves to this present moment, and that's where brilliance lives, and that's where it acts from. So that's kind of neat about the present moment. Another one, brilliance, alive in the present moment, allows healthy, happy relationships. And brilliance works anywhere, everywhere, and gets the job done.
And finally, we invite you to join us again in 2 weeks. I think it's the 24th, the 26th is the Tuesday night near the end of February. And in that program, we're going to talk about gratitude and brilliance, and from the perspective of love and the lightness of being. So we'll look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
You might want to...